From KCUR Studios, this is State House Blend, Kansas. I'm Sam Zeff. Although some have said Kansas Governor Sam Brownback has been largely absent from this legislative session, the power of his veto has loomed large. He struck down a tax bill and a Medicaid expansion bill. As we begin to come to the close of this legislative session, KPR reporter Stephen Caranda has done some digging on the relationship between the governor and the legislature. He joins me now. Stephen, I want to start with the two bills the governor vetoed in the regular session, both of which were sustained. Remind us of what he vetoed.
Well, the first thing was a tax bill that effectively rolled back much of the state's 2012 tax cut, so it would have increased income tax rates and reinstated income taxes on business owners who are exempt under our current tax policy. And the other bill he vetoed was Medicaid expansion. And as you mentioned, in both cases, they tried to override and failed.
Do you think they're going to see the light of day when they come back?
Well, some people certainly hope they will. The top Democrat in the House, Jim Ward, told me on Medicaid expansion, they're thinking of tweaking the bill just a little bit. Some of the opposition was for things like abortion concerns, even though supporters of expansion called those kind of concerns red herrings. But they're thinking of tweaking the bill a little to maybe satisfy some of those concerns and taking another run at Medicaid expansion. As far as the tax bill, there was a lot of opposition to the tax bill because of the retroactivity part of it. It would have made the changes retroactive to the first of this year. So people had concerns about that, and there's talk about amending that aspect, and maybe you could get a few more votes. But then you start to get into concerns that maybe the bill wouldn't raise enough money. So if you eliminated the retroactivity, you might pick up a few votes, but you might start losing a few votes also.
Yeah, so there's a lot of moving parts. We also don't know where the governor may be on any of that.
Correct. I mean, he's kind of shifted a little bit recently, as I'm sure you heard. You know, he now says that he would accept a repeal of the business tax exemption if a tax bill included some kind of economic driver, whether that be a single income tax rate or something else. So he's kind of stepped up and shifted his position a little bit recently.
You've done a lot of reporting about what Brownback may or may not veto. And you talked to Senate Minority Leader Anthony Hensley. He's a Democrat from Topeka. Does he think there's a chance the governor's willing to deal on taxes?
I did ask him about this recently, and from his perspective, he says that anything the governor would agree to probably wouldn't be enough to fix the problem. So that's kind of the pitch he's making to people to get them on board with an override, is saying, you know, don't negotiate with the governor, because from Hensley's perspective, the governor wouldn't agree to anything that would be enough to erase our budget deficit.
Let's hear from Anthony Hensley.
Yeah, I mean, he's still got the veto pen. But we've just got to find enough votes to make sure that we're able to override.
Hensley really is suggesting there, Stephen, that there is no deal, that the only thing moderate Republicans and Democrats can do is corral enough votes to override a veto.
And from his perspective, that's the angle he wants to go. But, you know, there are still a lot of Republicans in the legislature, a lot more than there are Democrats. And so even though a lot of the moderates might want to agree with Democrats on this, they're just a few votes shy, it looks like, especially in the Senate. And getting those last few votes is not easy.
All right. What do besides that, where do you think the Republicans are on this? Or you think that they think that they're going to get the governor to deal?
Well, Senate President Susan Weigel sure seems like she believes that. I talked to the governor a couple days ago, and he mentioned that, you know, he's really staying in this process. He is not sitting back and waiting for an override. He, as I mentioned, has kind of shifted his position a little bit on the business tax exemption, and he is actively negotiating with the leaders in the House and the Senate, trying to come up with something. So there definitely is talk behind closed doors going on between the governor, Senate President Weigel, the Speaker of the House. So there's definitely something being cooked up. The question is, can they cook something up that would get a lot of these moderates on board so that they could get something through the chambers with a majority that then the governor would sign?
Let's hear from one of those moderates right now. Melissa Rooker is a representative from Fairway, and then I want to hear from Susan Weigel, the conservative Senate president from Wichita. Let's hear from them now.
What frustrates me is that, you know, within two or three votes, we had two-thirds of the legislature in agreement, and it really did bridge the political spectrum. So to have to have gotten that close and failed to override was frustrating. But I do believe enough of us are in agreement with how we need to be proceeding that we'll get there.
I think he's become much more negotiable on a tax package. So we're hopeful.
Stephen, we seem to hear two different Republican points of view there. Melissa Rooker suggesting that there may not be a lot of cooperation coming from the governor's office as they try to come up with a budget solution and a tax solution. And Susan Weigel saying, well, he's more involved. So is the truth somewhere in the middle?
Probably they're both right in some ways. The governor is involved, but I think that some of these more moderate-leaning Republicans see it that they're kind of on a totally different page than the governor, and they probably couldn't, from their perspective, get the governor to agree to something that they like and they think the voters in their district like. And then on the flip side, of course, you have Susan Weigel, who's more conservative but hasn't always agreed with the governor. So the fact that she is now saying, you know, the governor is working with us and is negotiating does give some credence to that side as well. This is why there are so many questions as we go into this veto session here, because we have what seem to be some really big differences, and we just don't know how they're going to shake out and if it's going to take a long time to shake out those differences.
Well, I'm going to throw one more big issue in there for you right now. Have we heard anything from the governor's office on where he is on coming up with a school funding formula and, more importantly, how to pay for it?
This is an issue where the governor has kind of waiting to see what lawmakers come up with. He has offered some kind of broad goals. He really wants them to target, you know, the 25% of low-income struggling students. But beyond that, he hasn't offered really specifics or specific plans. So at this point, he seems to be kind of waiting to see what they come up with. And as you've covered a lot, you know, the House has basically built an entire bill. The Senate has done very little. So now that's another issue we really have to tackle when they come back. It's starting to look like House members might finish work on their bill and send it over to the Senate, and then maybe the Senate would take that and tweak it rather than starting from scratch with their own bill. So that's just another thing that makes me wonder if we're going to be pushing this 2015 record-long session with our 2017 session here.
Yeah, certainly the Senate has some different ideas, not radically different, but I do expect a different bill coming out of the Senate. I want to change gears and go strictly political on you now. Do you think that anything that's happening right now is going to resurface, or that there are ways of trying to set the stage for the 2018 legislative elections? What are the politics around this looking forward?
I think that really depends on what happens in the coming weeks. If the, you know, moderate Republicans and the Democrats kind of join forces and do a major tax overhaul, undoing a lot of the tax cuts we made in recent years, then I think in 2018 you're going to be seeing lots of mailers attacking them for these big tax increases. Whereas on the flip side, you know, if conservatives get some moderates on board and they come to a plan with the governor, you might see ads in a couple years saying, oh, well, they didn't really fix the problem. Maybe we're looking down the road at having more issues. So I think kind of what we're going to see in 2018 will really depend on what we see in the next few weeks.
And I want to wrap it up with whether you think the governor is positioning himself for the history books. A lot of reporting that you've done suggesting that the governor is not going to finish out his term. He's going to go to work for the Trump administration as an ambassador. How much do you think that this governor is worried about his legacy and his place in the history books?
At this point, he's done a good job of protecting his core priorities. I mean, he laid them out in the State of the State saying, don't expand Medicaid, protect our small business tax cuts. And up to now, he's really followed through on that with his veto pen. He's vetoed Medicaid expansion. He's vetoed tax overhauls. So up to now, he has really been cementing in place the policies that he championed, and he's really been protecting them. But now he's getting a little more flexible on the business tax exemption. So I think we kind of have to wait and see. If we were only looking at up to now, I'd say, boy, he's really protecting the things he's done so far. But as we look in the next couple weeks, there's some indications that maybe he's willing to deal a little bit more to get something put together. And I don't know if that would be influenced by a decision whether he leaves or not. We just recently heard Chris Kris Kobach will not be going to the Trump administration, so some of us are starting to wonder if the governor will follow through on this after there's a deal reached and leave and go to the Trump administration, or whether he'll stay. And if he stays, I would definitely say that he'll be continuing to protect some of the main issues that he has worked on.
My colleague Stephen Caranda from Candace Public Radio, always a pleasure to have you on State House Blend. Candace, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.